There was a choir that worked months and months and months for a very big performance. They came every Monday night. The people in the choir got babysitters for their kids. They ate dinner early with like things that would easily digest so they could sing. They didn't drink alcohol because that kind of like paralyzes your vocal cords. They scheduled their life around coming to every rehearsal. And when they were there, they sat perfectly straight with their feet parallel on the floor at the seat, the beginning of their seat, front of the seat, with their pencil, not a pen, a pencil, and they marked every breath mark, every little thing they needed to pay attention. When to look up at the director. This note's really hard. Make sure you circle that. Oh, this page turns really bad. So make sure you write the little notes really fast before you have to turn the page. They worked so hard. And they sounded so good. They were ready. And they had a lot of fun in rehearsal, but it was a lot of work. And then the dress rehearsal came. And you know what? They hired people to sing in the choir. Those people showed up for dress rehearsal. They lean over you and say, okay, breath, 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 look up here. They got all the notes from the choir people, and then they sang the solos because they were paid to sing, and they were the stars of the show. Is that fair? No, is the answer. No, that's not fair. Yeah, kind of ticked off everybody in the choir. Not that I'm a diva or anything, but in our gospel story today, not story, it's a parable. A parable is a story that tells about the kingdom of God, tells about God. So the people that get there early, they are the ones that get up at 4:45 in the morning, so they have time for morning prayer and drink their coffees. So they are there at 6:30 to clock in, right? They are ready. They only get 30 minutes for lunch, and they're barely able to go to the bathroom. And their feet are sore, their back is sore, they've been sweating all day. People are fussing at them, they're fussing at people, right? They are there. They're the good, loyal workers. Always there, always on time, every meeting they show up for. Then they're the normal clock, 9 o'clock people. Those are the normal people. Maybe they went for a walk in the morning before they got to work. They drank some coffee, and they're just kind of easing into work. Those are normal people. I'm not one of those. 12 o'clock people, they're like a late start. So maybe they had a night party the night before. It's 12 o'clock. I guess I'll mosey into work. And then there's the 3 o'clock people. Like, were they working night shift? What were they thinking showing up at 3 o'clock? And then there's the 5 o'clock people. Those are the losers that no one wanted to hire. Yeah, they're lazy. Can't do anything right. Whatever you do, don't hire that guy again because, no, man. All the other landowners said, no way, we don't want those losers. Were you ever last? I was always last in PE class to be picked for the team. And probably rightfully so because I would be out in the field talking to everybody and doing cartwheels. So that's what you would get if you hired me last. But it's not fair. You know, the first people were hired with, I'll pay you a daily wage. That's what they said. I'll pay you a daily wage. The other groups, the 9 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock, and 5 o'clock people were all said that we will pay you whatever is right. Didn't say daily wage. So the ones in the first group, they think this is ridiculous and unfair. It's not fair. I've worked all day in the heat. I've sweated for, and all I get is this. They were expecting to be paid more, right? So similar to the prodigal son. Remember the prodigal son, there's a dad that has two kids, two boys, and the youngest one says, Daddy, I want my inheritance now. So he takes the money, goes off, and squanders it. He has late night parties, he's drinking, he's gambling, he's got the girls, he's like whatever. So he goes in wild parties, and the next thing he knows, he's poor and feeding the pigs, and if I was back at home, I would be eating And the pigs are eating better than me here. So he goes back home. And the whole way there, he's like, what am I going to say to Dad? My dad's going to be all really, really mad at me. And he's pondering over and over in his head, I'm sorry, Daddy. I don't deserve to be here. I should be your slave. I'm so sorry. And he gets there. The dad runs to meet him. The dad embraces him, puts a ring on his finger, puts a coat on him. And it's just like a wild party because the son has returned. And then the older son, the older brother, is out in the field and hears a wild party and, hey, your brother's come home. And he's ticked. I stayed here with you, Dad, and I didn't get anything. I didn't even get a goat to hang out with my friends with. And you killed the fat cat for this loser brother of mine? That's not fair. Mm-hmm. Not playing by the rules, not fair. See, that older brother was relying on his works instead of the father's love and mercy. And we had the same thing here. Peter and disciples said, God, or not, at that point it was just Jesus, because they didn't get the connection yet. So we've given up everything. We've given up our families, our jobs, everything to follow you. They were in the same boat. They thought, if you do the right thing, click off the to-do list, do morning prayer, evening prayer, do all this stuff, then I'll get to heaven. It's not about that. It's not what the story's about. See, we get to serve God. Growing up, my mom used to say, you get to clean the kitchen. You get to take care of the kitty litter. You get to make your bed. You get to clean your room. That was my mother's way of saying, go do something. But she would always say, you get to. And so you get to. See, the unfairness is focused on the wrong thing. God has so much love, and it can go around to everybody. It doesn't matter. You do not work your way to earn God's love. The ones that got there early in the morning had the joy and the privilege of getting to go to work. See, we are the last ones hired. We are the losers. We do not deserve to have God even give us the time of day, and he does. God's love does not correlate with what we do. He showers it upon us. Let me put it a different way. How many of you have made cupcakes? Come on, how many of you? Yes, come on, cupcakes. Or cookies that have to have frosting. You've never made cupcakes? You need to go home. That's your homework. You have to make cupcakes. Okay. So when you make cupcakes, the best part is the icing, of course. And who's ever made too much icing for the cupcakes? Oh, right. Now I've gotten lazy and I just go out and buy it and I stir it. But, you know, back in the good old days, I would have all this powdered sugar that I'd have to use up. So you just make tons of icing. And it wasn't an issue of if the cupcake's going to get icing. It's a matter of, am I going to get rid of all this icing? So you just blob it on. Tons of icing on the cupcake. That's what God does with his grace, with his love. There is so much of it. He blobs it on all of us. Whether we've been there at 6:30 in the morning or we are the loser group at the very end, it does not depend on our works. It's all God showering down his icing, his love, upon us. I've totally gotten off things here. Okay, let's see if I can drag this back in. It's unfair. Oh, okay. Blah, blah, blah. God doesn't pay general minimum wage. He gives plenty to all of us. Another example is the parable of the seed and the sower. There is so much seed going out. He is just distributing it everywhere. He doesn't care if it's in the rocks. He doesn't care if the birds are going to eat it. He doesn't care if it's on the pathway. He doesn't care what kind of soil it is. He just showers it out. So God is very, very, very generous. And we have a royal invitation from God to go work for him, to be part of his kingdom, to work in his kingdom. Now, I do not want you to think that only church work, like going to work for the food pantry, becoming a priest, being a, you know, that's not the only kind of work that God has for you. God has plans for you, like being a good husband, being a good mother, maybe your vocation as a nurse or an engineer or as a retired person. That is your vocation. And God has work for you even there. Even if you're in a nursing home and can't move, God has a plan for you. You can still pray. You can look at the nurses with love in your eyes. There is a plan. There is a role for everyone. You are part of the kingdom of God. You are a loved, beloved child of God. And he loves you so much, it doesn't matter which group you've gone to work with, because God showers his love upon you. And as a result, because of all that he's done for us, we get to. Right? We get to. Even when we wake up in the morning and we don't feel like it, I'm so sick and tired of the kids driving me crazy. We've all been there. Whatever it is in your heart that is hurting you today, whatever is in your brain that you are wrapping your head around, and our colleague says, don't be anxious about earthly things. When I read that earlier, last week or whenever it was, I laughed at that. Don't be anxious about earthly things. Seriously? Yes, we are anxious about earthly things. But should we be? No. The answer is no, of course. But what are we really scared of? Are we scared we're going to die? Are we scared that people might look at us like we're weird and crazy? What if your family thinks you've gone crazy? What if your friends think that you've gone nuts? What if you think yourself has gone crazy? What are you afraid of? What are you anxious? And what is the underlying reason for that anxiety? Because God would not place us in a vineyard by ourselves. He is here with us. Whatever our pathway is, he is there already. God is timeless and he knows and he is with us. And if that means I'm a martyr and my head's chopped off tomorrow, he is with me. And if that is the case, may I have enough faith to go through with the plan. Whatever you're afraid of, God is with you. He promises to be with us in that vineyard where he has called us to work. In his kingdom, he is with us. And he showers his love on us. It is an honor and a privilege to get to serve. It is an honor and a privilege to be his child. It is an honor and a privilege and a joy we get to. Now, maybe you've never actually, this is not very Episcopal, maybe you've never actually said, yes, I want to do that. We're not really good at altar calls, but we have an altar called every Sunday called the Eucharist. And when we go around and we put our hands out like this, that is saying yes to God. Yes, I want you. I want you to come into me. I want you to consume me. See, usually when we eat, like when we have, let's say we had eggs for breakfast. Our body breaks it down to amino acids. It goes into our cells and becomes muscle. We digest the food. When we have the Eucharist, it consumes us and we grow in likeness to God. Think about that for a second. It's not just wine and bread. It's not a carbohydrate or a protein, depending on what you want. I don't know. But we're not the one digesting just food. It is consuming us. God is coming down to us and enabling us, giving us strength so that we can do his work. We have been called into his kingdom, and we reach out and say, yes, Lord, I'm here. Take me. I'm all yours. We are his, and we belong to him. The prize is that we get to serve. So what is the reward in all of this? You've given your life to God. You get to work in his vineyard, in his kingdom. What's in it for you? what is in it is that you get to. You get to. You get to. You get to. It is a blessing and an honor and a privilege to serve and to be able to love our Lord who has given himself for us. We are the losers in the last group that do not deserve to go to work, and yet he lets us. He lets us to be in his kingdom and to be with us and to let us love and serve him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.